All right, well, happy Independence Day, everybody, and welcome to School Spirit on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNewen. I appreciate everybody tuning in today, taking some time out of your Independence Day celebrations to join us. I know a lot of our parents and grandparents here in the Central Texas area are very concerned and interested in the textbooks that our schools are using, and especially our Catholic schools. Well, today we have a very special guest with us, Mr. Michael Van Heck, who is the president and publisher for the Catholic Textbook Project. Michael, thank you very much for joining us today.
Almost glad to be here, Tom. Thank you.
We'll dive into a little bit of the project itself here, but why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners? A little bit of insight into your education and background.
Sure. I say that my elementary and secondary education was so bad. I should say my schooling was so bad. And watching my parents fight all the different schools I was in over the years provided me a good education. So here's what happened. I went to a Bible camp in high school, and I met a bunch of kids from Texas, actually. Maybe or maybe not, they were of the female persuasion. But I found everybody at that camp refreshing because what they exhibited was a joy and a confidence. And I realized very they weren't trying to convert me or anything. They just were good, sound, happy, confident people. And I realized it comes from living deeply a Christian worldview. So I, along with some other people at the camp, we sort of said, "Oh, let's come back next year." So we did. And that time I went, it was the same experience, but a little deeper, and it lasted a little longer in me. Then the next year, I was heading off to college, and I was going to go to Texas, but I ended up last minute changing my mind to go to Thomas Aquinas College in California. Famous surfing school, you might have heard of it, but that's actually what they talked me into doing, going and learning to surf for a semester, then I can go to Dallas the next semester. Needless to say, when I landed at Thomas Aquinas College, I found the Catholic version of what I experienced at Summit Ministries in high school. And it didn't last 2 weeks, it lasted 4 years. So it really quickened this concept of the Catholic worldview in my mind, heart, and soul. I also happened to marry the perfect woman for me from there, and so
That's
that
always helpful.
not just quickened it, it buttoned it up for life. So when I got out, what I said that my hope and desire was to go start a school that would give kids what I by then had realized I was robbed of. I was robbed of my intellectual inheritance. I was robbed of my cultural inheritance. Grew up in the Milwaukee area, and everything, the Catholic schools and public schools were all pretty progressive. So I said, well, this just isn't right because it's not a happy way to be formed. So I went and started teaching. And curiously, I've run three schools, small independent Catholic schools that grew, and the last one for 20 years. And they've been fantastic. I actually never started one myself. But I came in, I think on two of them I came in after 3 years, and the last one I helped found, but then didn't come as headmaster till year six. So during all that time, this is early 90s on up to today, there is a slow growing awareness by parents and a corresponding closing of many Catholic schools that led to an increase of the foundation of many parent-run Catholic independent schools. So I helped a lot with those, but I also realized from the get-go, there's no Catholic curricula in subjects other than religion. So I had been teaching history, and my first project, I said I wanted to pull together a textbook series of history specifically for Catholic schools so that we could be free to tell the story from a Catholic worldview. And I had hired a wonderful gentleman named Dr. Roland Lassiter, who joined me in Dallas, where I was a headmaster. And he helped me out with curriculum and taught a little bit at UD. And then we put together the textbook project. And initially, we thought we'd dip back into the 40s or 50s and pull up an old Benziger book or something. Sadly, or maybe we didn't know, but we started to buy some of these old books and read them, and they just weren't right. So we realized we had to start absolutely fresh and write the stories anew with a deeper scholarship and a truly balanced sensibility, because those were overly parochial. That doesn't do our kids any good. Doesn't set them up for honest scholarship. And of course, we don't want the modern textbook that whichever one it might be, the one that might just absolutely cut out the truth. Not to mention that they're pedagogically very boring.
So as you were starting your teaching career, did this awareness kind of just grow, that you needed to have, or the church writ large needs to have Catholic textbooks, or is this just something that has kind of evolved over time?
I would say it. Well, that's a hard question to answer, but let's say it grew, but it grew really quickly. And the reason it grew quickly was because having the formation that I had, the intellectual and cultural formation of the Catholic college, intimate with the liturgical life, and encountering the great books. So I'm going through basically vicariously living through history, right? When you read the great books and dig into them and discuss them with your peers, you really grow in so many ways. And so I had that foundation before I stepped into a classroom. So I knew how interesting it was and how exciting talking about these stories could be. And I got in a classroom, I got the tool, and it was like a Fisher-Price plastic hammer. I mean, you're just not going to make a lot of progress on your roof with that. But I knew what a real hammer was. And so I knew that I needed to find better materials for my students. And I cobbled stuff together. And like any good teacher, you try to be the teacher. Don't let the textbook be the teacher. But the textbook's a good tool, an important tool. So it was pretty quick that I realized I need to provide a better textbook.
So how long did it take you to kind of realize this vision with the Catholic Textbook Project?
Yeah, it took about 10 years to get the first book out. To conceive of it was about a year. But then actually pulling that all together and knowing all the things now that go into textbook production, it's just unbelievable how stupid I was. But I learned, it's a trial and error. In fact, we got a donation. This lovely lady in Phoenix gave us a bequest of $40,000. And I thought, good, we can print the first five books. To rent the artwork for the very first book was $33,000
Oh my
for
goodness
10,000
gracious.
copies. Yeah,
Oh
it
my
just
gosh. I never
outrageous.
imagined it was that that would be that
No, it was
expensive.
crazy. So it took us 10 years to get the first book out. And then, ever since then, that was the early 2000s. So it's been almost 20 years. We
Yeah.
had just over 20 years, actually.
Right.
We've been putting out books pretty regularly, but it takes a long time because we're small and they're expensive, and the funding sources we had to rely on donations. Now, we haven't in the last, so seven years or so, we haven't had to seek any donations because the sales have increased and that's funded, but we've still been going slowly. So what we embarked on last year was we just decided to step out and do the K-3 program all at once. So four
Yeah.
grades, boom, at once in 3 years instead of one grade in 3 years. And we hired a terrific publisher who's been in the industry for a number of years, a friend of our vice president who also was in the industry for a number of years and really turned our company around. We jumped on this, and this is way beyond what we make. I mean, it's a nonprofit corporation. So
Sure.
this last few months, we've kicked off a Jubilee campaign for the Jubilee
Yeah.
year. To try to help underwrite the production of these, because we want to get them into schools, into the hands of kids as fast as possible. And we have just top drawer writers and illustrators, and it's going to be kind of a unique product, but it'll be really, really good for children.
Yeah. I got a chance to kind of dig through your website a little bit here and was really amazed at well, besides the fact that you readily are putting samples up here for anybody and everybody who wants them, which I think is awesome because you get a
Yeah, this week in
firsthand look.
history. Every week you get a story.
We'll talk a little bit about your Santa Ana comment here a little bit, but I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Michael Van Heck has joined us from the airport here in Dallas, Fort Worth, here on School Spirit. And we appreciate him taking some time out of his busy travel schedule to sit down here with us, talk about the Catholic textbook project. And Michael, really kind of give me the sales pitch. What makes these books different?
Oh, well, th there's three things, sort of three pillars that were essential as we embarked on this. The first, of course, is that we need to tell story from a Catholic worldview. So Archbishop Miller, in his Holy See's teaching on Catholic schools, comes up with five marks of a Catholic school. What he does is he consolidates the many, many beautiful documents of the church talking about education over the last 140 years. And so he says Catholicism must permeate the entire curriculum. And you think about that, and you think, oh, well, that's, it wouldn't permeate science. Really? Well, you're not going to permeate history. That's just history. Really? Look how much, look how crazy history can be twisted and turned. And so we want to tell the story of history from the true perspective, and that's a perspective of salvation history. We know that's true. And if it's true, we better teach according to it. Now, that being said, it is decisively not one of these Catholic triumphalism books, right? Because yeah, the church is the body of Christ, but it's full of us little pustules. We're very imperfect beings, and some of us do bad things. So it's important that we understand that, and that the kids understand that their decisions and choices have consequences. And good men become bad, and bad men become good, and we see this in history. So we wanted to tell history from the right worldview. That's very, very important. Two is we wanted to tell it as story, because that's what history is. It's a narrative. And if we don't tell the story, there's no connection between one thing and the next. And we don't see this arc of Western civilization that we live within, or the arc of salvation history that we live within. We like to look back at the Old Testament and see all the prefiguring of the New Testament. Well, all of history is God's design. So let's understand it, and you can't understand it as such unless you see the story. The third thing that we wanted to accomplish was we wanted it to be beautiful. So we happened upon, by providence, happened upon a designer of textbooks who also designs things like the Getty Art Museum books and whatnot, just a world-class graphic designer. And he loved our little David versus Goliath story. So he's been helping us out for over 20 years
Wow.
at way under market prices. Unfortunately, he's just retired, so now we have to move to a new firm, but it's somebody that he knows, so we like them
Yeah,
a
the
lot.
Holy Spirit will take care of that for you.
Yeah. Yeah, Holy Spirit and DP. I think of DP because I've been in Catholic education my whole life. DP stands for Divine Providence,
Amen.
but sometimes it's shown as deep pockets. God bless folks
Amen.
that understand stewardship and step in to help advance the ministry. And that's what it is. It's a ministry. So those are the three things. It was the Catholic worldview, the narrative, and the beauty. But then it's all packaged as a textbook because I wanted all schools to grab onto it. So, not in a bad way, a Trojan horse, but in a good way. Let's get into the classrooms, and the teachers, for the first time in their lives, might actually read a really good history and become inspired and interested. That's what you want in a teacher, right? And certainly the kids want to read that. So that was our hope, is to really put it into that form, the form of a textbook, so that it would have a broader appeal. And now we're into approximately 15% of the nation's Catholic schools use our books.
That's wonderful. That's
Yeah.
fantastic. I loved, as I was digging through the website, CatholicTextbookProject.com, right there on the very first blurb, helping students uncover the full story. And it kind of, as you alluded to, it's the good, the bad, the ugly. We can learn lessons and understand our role and our pathway to salvation through the good, the bad, and the ugly. As it relates to our church and outside of our church. And I think that addressing that in such a manner is absolutely critical for our young people. So obviously your background in history gave you kind of the leverage to go that way. What brought the science piece of the discussion together?
Well, one of the beauties of Catholic schools is you end up usually teaching just about everything, for better or for worse. Yeah, the poor kids suffered when they put me in the English classroom, but no, it's again going back to my liberal arts education at Thomas Aquinas, and then what I also really tried to make part of the character and culture of our schools is that every single subject is amazing to study, because in every single subject you're trying to understand the beauty and complexity of creation that resolves into the simplicity of God. So what more can you ask for? Science is so fascinating, but it's also it explodes. I don't know what the statistics are on it, but the information in science doubles. I don't know, is it every 5 years or 3 years now or every year? It's just exploding. And how do you approach that as an educator to kids? Obviously, you can't keep teaching them everything that's knowable. So what you have to teach them is you have to teach them to have a wonderful scientific mind, one that wants to know, right? So you teach them these principles of what it means to be a scientist, and then you engage with them kind of as a naturalist. You engage with them in the reality about them so that they see it and touch it and start to start to wonder.
Start to wonder. Yeah.
And so science is a it's really poorly done in many places, except maybe 10% of kids who are just wired that way and do really well, they're going to have a good time in one of those high level lab sciences. But science is for everybody. We all need to engage with reality. So we were very excited to partner with Classical Academic Press and bring the Novari series into our bag.
They were fun to read through as well. I was looking at the samples of that as well. So did this idea then, or rather, how did the Institute of Catholic Liberal Education come about? Is that kind of an offshoot of the CTP?
Yeah, it's actually in a way it's all of a piece, right?
Okay.
I would say that the overarching mission is Catholic educational renewal,
Wonderful.
and we want to renew it from the ground up. And CTP is curricular. We build curriculum, right? What ICLE is it's really in a way pedagogical. So it goes back and teaches the teachers what are the elements of a proper pedagogy befitting from or maybe deriving from the true nature of man. So we have to understand deeply the anthropology, a proper anthropology of man. He's not a worker, right? He's a child of God, destined for heaven, who is created to know things. So we have to give those kids, bring them along, lead them in the start with the liberal arts. I mean, there's the pre-liberal arts things as well, poetry and gymnastics and music, these kinds of things. But as they go through grade school and high school, you're building this body of grammar of all these subjects and the tools of logic and rhetoric. And so it's just a natural thing to understand that these are all part of the renewal of our Catholic educational system, of our schools, of me as a teacher. So I mean it's big and it's very individual as well. So going back to 1992, Dr. Lassiter and I would do some little workshops, usually morning workshops for faculties. We did a few a year for several years. And then in the meantime, I was helping a lot of parents start schools and things. But in 2005, a buddy and college mate, Dr. Andrew Seeley, who's now at Augustine Institute, he came to me and said, "I'd like to start an institute where we can promote Catholic liberal education from K on up through college." He had just read Excordia Ecclesia and really inspired, re-inspired. Every teacher needs to know this, and so we've got to help him. Well, it just turns out, I said to Andrew that my company's name is the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. Now, we didn't do much on that ground. We'd been doing some things, but our real focus was the textbooks up to that point. But when Andrew said, I want to give some time and attention to building this institute," I said, "You're on. You're hired. I don't pay anything." And he's, "This is awesome. I'm so happy. But you'll be there for me, won't you?" And I was. So I was this little administrative assistant. And over the years, Andrew has pulled in every single one of his family members to help out.
That's how that works.
And then later on, in 2010, he had an academic retreat for teachers, And Mary Pat Donahue and Beth Sullivan went to that. And then the next year we had our first national conference. And then Beth started helping more. My wife and I did an in-service for St. Jerome's in Maryland, which became the first really diocesan classical school. And became very, very lot, you know, lots of press, lots of big press on that school. And so that started the whole movement to for parish schools to think differently about what they're doing and not just follow the typical public school path. And so now, you know, I think last year the Institute served almost 400 Catholic schools.
That's incredible.
So it's grown really, really wonderfully.
And designed, if I understand it right, it's even the homeschool parents can use these products and these resources and these textbooks. They don't have to, they're not limited to just the Catholic schools.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we actually started more in the independent and homeschool world. And then the parish schools started adopting them a lot more in the last 5 years. That's how we've, you know, the trajectory was very flat until the last 5 years. So, and similarly with the Institute, it's just rocketed up to Dr. Ryan Messmore is now the new president of the Institute. So we're just so excited to have him take over, and I'm turning my attention fully to the textbooks to bring this finish out the whole history series K-12.
It's an exciting time. I will have to, I am going to have to make a recommendation to you though, as I was looking through your Journey Across America series. And you should know this. I mean, having, spent some time in the Republic here, Texas is its own story, deserves its own book. It's not part of the Southeast, it's not part of the Southwest.
You're right. You're right. You're right. All right. That's
My
on the
Texas pride
docket.
coming up.
That's on the docket. Well, you can imagine what it was like for me. I was in Texas working, and then ended up in California.
Oh gosh,
I
culture
mean,
shock.
holy moly. Talk about different textbooks. Oh.
Amen. Hey, so Michael, real quick here before we run out of time, how could folks find out more about the textbooks and the Institute itself?
Yeah, just the easiest way for everybody is just go to our websites. If you got to go to Google first, go to it. But CatholicTextbookProject.com, and you know it's a textbook company, so it's commercial, so it's dot com. CatholicLiberalEducation.org is the website for the Institute. CatholicLiberalEducation.org.
We'll make sure and link both of those websites in our show notes here. Michael Van Heck, thank you very much for your time and safe travels.
Thanks, Tom. God bless you and all the listeners.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Folks, make sure you tune in next week here on School Spirit, and remember to put on the armor of God.